Welcome to the Dynamics of Everyday Life, where we demystify some tricky concepts and get to know ourselves a little bit better. Welcome back to the Dynamics of Everyday Life. Today I'm thinking about friendships and what happens to our social life once we've left school or further education. While secondary school in particular can be a brutal place, and I for one do not see my school days as the best days of my life, educational settings do offer us the chance to meet people of our own age, perhaps with similar interests, and crucially, we have plenty of time to forge these bonds. But once we scatter out into the big wide world, almost like the seas on a dandelion clock being blown into the wind, friendship can become a very fraught and challenging situation. So what is it that impacts on our ability to make friends when we're older, and what do we want to do about this? Perhaps one of the biggest impacts on our capacity to make new friends and even to maintain the relationships that we have is time and our relationship to this. Once we've left the imposed structure of a school or university timetable, we become responsible for how we spend our time and where we put our focus. How we feel about ourselves can play a huge part here. How we want to appear to others can directly impact how we spend our time. Do we want to be saying to our boss that we're committed and say go over and above at work? And if so, what are our unconscious motivations here? Are we anxious about doing the right thing? Or are we driven by the desire to succeed and get ahead? Maybe we spend a lot of time at the gym or doing exercises to keep unconscious thoughts firmly repressed and away from our conscious minds. If we are spending our time at work, at the gym, or doing an activity, then it follows that we'll have less time to invest in either making new friends or maintaining our old friendships. Human beings are complicated, multifaceted creatures, and we don't exist in a bubble. Friendship requires input on both sides, and if we don't put in the effort to maintain a friendship or to start something new, then either consciously or unconsciously, other people are going to pick up on this. It might also activate some defences in them too. Maybe they will create narratives around why the relationship isn't working or developing, and we can see how this can spiral into people growing apart. This is where having a shared interest can really help, whether it be a gym class, a trip to the theatre, or a night out. Time gets carved out to spend with people, and whilst we still might make meaning and create narratives out of our communication, we do at least have something to base this on. As we get older and experience more of life and of people, there's every possibility that we place a greater reliance on our defences. We might become more boundaried and fearful of letting people into our lives. If we're not doing the work on ourselves and exploring who we are and what makes our minds work, we're going to keep repeating patterns throughout our lives. Freud talks about the compulsion to repeat, and what he's referring to here is the repetition of previous trauma or difficult situations throughout our lives. We repeat these difficult circumstances in order to try to repair the wound, whatever this might be. But this is unconscious behaviour. We don't know we're doing it until we do the work on ourselves. And so it's going to keep happening. Have a think about relationships you might have repeated over and over again, or similar situations that you find yourself in. This is because we've laid down a blueprint for our behaviour, and unconsciously we like it, because the repetition helps us feel safe. It draws us into familiar territory. Sometimes we can even see patterns coming down through the generations, and this is because something hasn't been addressed, and then the behaviour gets repeated. This can include all kinds of things like splitting, deciding that people are either all good or all bad, neither of which is true. And in the case of all good, it's an awful lot to live up to. We can become avoidant in our friendships because we're fearful of being dependent on other people, so we don't invest in them. Maybe we're carrying baggage from our school days, which aren't necessarily fun, and this then gets repeated in our friendships as we grow. We carry around parts of ourselves from when we were young, the meaning we created, and the stories that became part of our history, and this impacts how we relate to people in the here and now. This isn't all doom and gloom though. We don't have to be destined to repeat this ad infinitum. If we can see the pattern for what it is, a need that isn't being met, we then have more power and choice over what we do next, whether we continue to repeat or we take some other action. As we grow, for many of us, our intimate relationships become more central in our lives, although this might not necessarily be the case, either by circumstance or by choice. And this can bring up another block to our friendships as unconscious rivalries can develop. Sometimes we can give our power away to other people as we place our value in how they see us, So in a romantic relationship, if we feel that our value is being diminished by our partner's focus on their friendships, we can feel threatened and uncertain. There may also be a bit of sibling rivalry between us and our partner's friends, and we know how intense that this can be. If we're feeling insecure and our partner starts to develop some new friendships that don't include us, this can kick up all kinds of unconscious feelings for us. And here we are, back at our defence mechanisms again, because we really don't want another layer of anxiety in our lives. This also works in a similar way when our friends meet new partners. If we have the security of a good friendship, then it can feel unnerving when our friend finds someone else to spend time with and focus on. Have a think about when you felt threatened or bothered by your partner's friendships, either long-standing or them developing new ones, or by your friend's new partners. Did you really not like these people? Or was it because at a deeper level you were just feeling a bit insecure? I'm not meaning this in a judgmental way. I think this is something that we all do. But by knowing why we might be doing this, it can help us gain a bit more power and awareness over the situation, which then in turn can help the anxious feelings and defensive behaviour diminish. As we grow and our lives develop, so do our friendships. Some friendships will grow out of, and some will become more important to us. There's a saying that we have friends for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, and there's probably some truth in that. Our lives might take us in different directions to our friends, meaning that whilst the relationship is strong, we just don't see each other that much. Sometimes our friends die, and we're left to carry the relationship on our own. What this means in making new friendships is that we can unconsciously be looking for other people to replace what our original friends gave us, and this is fraught with problems. Unconsciously, we're looking for our original friend, and someone else can never give us what we used to have. We might see glimpses of our original friend in the new person's sense of humour or something that we've enjoyed together, and we get drawn into a dynamic where we feel that we have that friendship and all it gave us back. But ultimately, we're going to be disappointed because the new person can't give us what we're hoping for. Potentially, we can feel vulnerable at having got too close either too soon or inappropriately. And hello, defence mechanisms yet again. We might withdraw from this friendship, not giving it the chance to grow into something all of its own. We might unconsciously blame the other person for not being able to give us what we're looking for and displace our anger or frustration at the loss of our original friendship onto the person that we were seeking to replace them with. This can leave the other person confused and unsure, possibly kicking off some defences of their own. And what might have been a friendship with a life all of its own either stalls or gets stopped in its tracks completely. Another potential blocker for us making friends as we grow can be the expectations that we place on people. As we collect memories and experiences throughout our lives, we learn how to be with people and we develop expectations of what our friendships should look like. The problem with this can be that these expectations can either be unconscious or, if we're aware of them, we don't actually communicate them to other people. So we're going to be left feeling disappointed by the other person, despite them being unable to fulfil something that they weren't even aware of. This might be another form of defensive behaviour, as we're stopping people from getting too close to us, or we're worried that they might be disappointed in us, so unconsciously we set the situation up to fail. One final point to mention that can get in the way of us making new friends later in life is the concept of transference. I'm going to be looking at this in greater detail in an upcoming episode, but in a nutshell, this is where we repeat dynamics from our earliest relationships in our here and now relationships. So you can imagine how messy this can get, especially if we aren't aware that we're doing it. Transference is quite a big topic, so I'm going to be focusing on that in greater detail very soon. So thinking about this, it really does feel that we can get in our own way when it comes to making friends later in life. Our defences and other unconscious behaviours get activated because they're trying to keep us safe. But they might be keeping us from building important connections with other people instead. Have a think about when you've been in a position where there's been the possibility of making some new friends. How did it work out for you? Were there things that you could have done differently? Are there things that you might do differently now that you have a bit more awareness of what could be happening for you? And how could you put this into practice? Looking at ourselves at this level can be challenging and unnerving as we develop our awareness, so I'd always encourage that you do this at your own speed. If you feel you need some extra help around this, then I've put together a PDF resource sheet and you can find the link for this in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dynamics of Everyday Life. Please hit the follow button for future episodes and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on Instagram at The Dynamics of Everyday Life or find me on LinkedIn at Julia Rogers. I'd love to hear from you and hear your thoughts on dynamics. The Dynamics of Everyday Life is brought to you by Coaching 42 and the fabulous team at the Podcast Boutique.